Once upon a time, a mighty king lived in a palace in the shadow of a dark, mysterious forest. He had only one child, a beautiful little girl with long hair, and her favorite plaything was a bright golden ball that looked just like the sun in the sky. Day after day, she would run and skip under the shadow of the huge forest trees, tossing and bouncing her ball to amuse herself. She liked to pretend that her ball was indeed the sun, and that the whole wide world was hers to play with. One day, however, as she spun the ball in her little hands, it slipped from her fingers, rolled over the leafy ground, and fell, splash, into a deep well. She ran quickly to the edge of the well and peered in, but her beautiful golden toy had vanished into darkness. She began to cry loudly, because she was not used to disappointment, when she suddenly heard a timid, scratchy voice behind her say, "What is the matter, princess?" Spinning around, she realized that the speaker was the ickiest frog she had ever seen. "I have dropped my ball into the well, and it is lost forever," she wailed. The frog looked at her and blinked. "I could get it for you if..." "Oh, froggy, I'd give anything you want if you could get my lovely ball back. You could have my crown." "I do not want a crown," the frog said. "Or all my jewels," she offered. "What would a frog do with jewels?" he wondered. "I do not care," the princess snapped. "Just get my ball." "Well," the frog said, "I do not want jewels, but I do want a friend. It is a lonely life being an icky frog. If I fetch your ball from the dark, chilly well for you, will you agree to be my friend forever afterward and love me and share everything that you have with me?" "Of course," the princess promised. But in her heart, she thought, "Who cares what that old frog wants? He'll never leave this well anyway." The frog did not know her thoughts, however, and he dived eagerly down into the well. A few seconds later, he emerged from the water holding the precious golden ball between two slimy webbed hands. "It was very cold down there," the frog remarked, but the princess was not listening. "Hooray!" she cried, and seizing the ball, she immediately ran back to the palace. The frog croaked after her, "Wait, I cannot run as fast as you." She ignored him, however, and considered the matter settled. That night, however, while the court feasted, a loud knock sounded on the door. The princess loved visitors, so she ran to open the door. But who should stand on the palace stairs but the icky, warty frog? She slammed the door in his face and ran back to her delicious dinner on her golden plate. Behind the heavy wood door, though, she could hear him croaking, "Oh, careful, careful, Princess Fair. Promises are more than air." "Who is at the door, my daughter?" asked the king. "Nobody, just an old frog," she said, and she told him how the frog had retrieved her ball from the well on the condition that she would be its friend and share everything she had with it forever afterward. She thought her father would be pleased with how she had escaped the frog's demands, but, to her surprise, he frowned. The princess was shocked and wanted to refuse, but she could see from her father's stern looks that she had to obey. Unwillingly, she got up and opened the door. The frog was still sitting patiently on the steps of the palace. When he saw the princess, he smiled happily. A smiling frog is quite a sight to behold, and bounced up and down with froggy glee. Unwillingly, the princess allowed the frog into the magnificent palace. He bounced up and down as frogs will when they are very happy, but she only glared at him dreadfully. She thought to herself, "Why should I have to keep my promise to this old croaker just because he fetched my ball from the well?" Her father insisted, however, that she should be his friend just as she said she would. The frog hopped after her into the great dining hall, boing, boing, and immediately jumped onto the table. "So, princess," he said, "we shall be the best of friends now." With a contented croak, he began to eat from her shining gold plate and sparkling silver bowl. Frogs do not eat very neatly, I'm afraid, and the princess, noticing how he smeared the food all over his face, turned away in disgust. She refused to look at the frog or speak to him, but she still felt sick just thinking of such an ugly creature eating with her. "What a lovely golden plate," the frog remarked. "It reminds me of your ball. You have such beautiful possessions, princess. It must be nice to be a princess and have everything you want." "If I had everything I wanted," the princess retorted, "you would not be eating with me." The frog ignored her rudeness. "May I have a drink from your cup?" he asked politely. The princess was about to refuse, but her father caught her eye, and so she nodded. The frog drank thirstily. Perhaps it was because of that long hop from the well to the palace doors. "Would you like to drink now, princess?" he asked, nudging the cup back in her direction. "You must be joking," she snapped. "Princesses do not drink after yucky frogs." The frog sighed and continued eating, but soon he began to look sleepy. "I'm tired, princess," he said. "Will you take me up to the bed?" "I could never have such a slimy frog in my bed," the princess burst out. Her father was about to scold her, but the frog beat him to it. "Oh, careful, careful, princess fair. Promises are more than air." What could the princess do? She had promised. So she ran up the stairs to her bedroom, and all the way up she could hear the frog hopping behind her. Boing, boing, and leaving little muddy footprints. Splish, splash, on the castle floor. She opened the door to her bedroom. The beautiful princess and the ugly frog stood in the doorway, looking at the princess's lovely room, hung with silk curtains, beautiful paintings, and jeweled lamps. A thick, soft goose feather quilt lay across her cozy bed, and a full plump pillow waited to support the princess's pretty head. The princess left the frog at the door and climbed into her beautiful bed. She wished the frog would go away, but he sat on the floor looking up at her. "I want to sleep on your pillow," the frog said decidedly. The princess shook her head. "No, please. You can sleep anywhere you want, just not on my bed. Please, you are just too disgusting, and you will leave slime on my pillow." "I want the pillow," the frog insisted. "You promised you would share everything with me." The princess pleaded and cried, but nothing could change the frog's mind. "You promised," he said, "and promises are more than air." Finally, she had to give in. Frustrated, she climbed down and tossed the frog roughly onto the pillow, and then climbed back into bed herself. She tried to keep as far away from her new friend as possible. "I wish you would just go away," she hissed into the darkness. The frog was silent for a long minute, and then he whispered, "Princess, there's one more thing." The princess groaned. "Could I have a goodnight kiss? I have been a very lonely frog, and you did promise you would love me." The princess was so exhausted that she did not even bother to argue. In the dark, she rolled over and planted one kiss on the top of the frog's cold, wet head. "Now please go to sleep," she begged. "Good night," croaked the frog. The next morning, the princess woke up to the frog still snoring on the pillow. The princess watched him sleeping for some time. She began to feel impatient for him to wake up, for she found that, gross as he was, she preferred arguing with the frog to playing by herself. It was so quiet without him croaking away. Finally, she poked him hard with her finger. "Get up, you lazy toad," she said. The frog did not stir, so with the palm of her hand, she gave him a rough shove that sent him sliding off the pillow and onto the cold stone floor of her bedroom. The moment his little webbed feet touched the ground, however, the warty frog disappeared, and in his place sat a little prince, rubbing his eyes sleepily and smiling up at the princess. "Hello, princess. Thank you so much for keeping your promise." "Who are you?" she asked, very much surprised. Why, I'm the frog, he responded. A wicked witch living in the forest turned me into an ugly frog, and only you could save me. I knew that your heart was just as golden as your plate and your ball, and I was right. Now I am free of her spell. He looked at her. Thank you, princess. Now I will leave you alone and go back to my home on the other side of the forest. Wait, said the princess. I thought we were supposed to be friends forever after. And promises are more than air, you know. The prince laughed. So they are. Shall we go play with your ball? And together they ran down the stairs and out into the bright golden sunshine. They were friends forever afterward, and when they were quite grown up, they were married with great celebration and joy. They invited the entire kingdom to their wedding, not to mention a number of frogs that the prince had met during his long enchantment. They lived happily ever after, of course, and the princess was always glad that she had kept her promise. The end. There was a king who had 12 beautiful daughters. They slept in 12 beds all in one room, and when they went to bed, the doors were shut and locked up. However, every morning their shoes were found to be quite worn through, as if they had been danced in all night. Nobody could find out how it happened, or where the princesses had been. So the king made it known to all the land that if any person could discover the secret and find out where it was that the princesses danced in all night, he would have the one he liked best to take as his wife, and would be king after his death. But whoever tried and did not succeed, after 3 days and nights, they would be put to death. A king's son soon came. He was well entertained, and in the evening he was taken to the chamber next to the one where the princesses lay in their 12 beds. There he was to sit and watch where they went to dance, and, in order that nothing could happen without him hearing it, the door of his chamber was left open. But the king's son soon fell asleep, and when he awoke in the morning he found that the princesses had all been dancing, for the soles of their shoes were full of holes. The same thing happened the second and third night, and so the king ordered his head to be cut off. After him came several others, but they all had the same luck, and all lost their lives in the same way. Now it happened that an old soldier, who had been wounded in battle and could fight no longer, passed through the country where his king reigned, and as he was traveling through a wood, he met an old woman who asked him where he was going. I hardly know where I'm going or what I had better do, said the soldier, but I think I would like to find out where it is that the princesses dance, and then in time I might be a king. Well, said the old woman, that is not a very hard task. Only take care not to drink any of the wine which one of the princesses will bring to you in the evening, and as soon as she leaves, you pretend to be fast asleep. Then she gave him a cloak and said, as soon as you put that on, you will become invisible, and you will then be able to follow the princesses wherever they go. When the soldier heard all this good advice, he was determined to try his luck, so he went to the king and said he was willing to undertake the task. He was as well received as the others had been, and the king ordered fine royal robes to be given to him, and when the evening came, he was led to the outer chamber. Just as he was about to lie down, the eldest of the princesses brought him a cup of wine, but the soldier threw it all away secretly, taking care not to drink a drop. Then he laid himself down on his bed, and in a little while began to snore very loudly, as if he was fast asleep. When the 12 princesses heard this, they laughed heartily, and the eldest said, this fellow too might have done a wiser thing than lose his life in this way. Then they rose and opened their drawers and boxes, and took out all of their fine clothes, and dressed themselves at the mirror, and skipped about as if they were eager to begin dancing. But the youngest said, I don't know why it is, but while you are all so happy, I feel very uneasy. I am sure some mischance will befall us. You simpleton, said the eldest. You are always afraid. Have you forgotten how many king's sons have already watched in vain? And as for this soldier, even if I had not given him his sleeping draught, he would have slept soundly enough. When they were all ready, they went and looked at the soldier, but he snored on and did not stir hand or foot, so they thought they were quite safe. Then the eldest went up to her own bed and clapped her hands, and the bed sank into the floor and a trap door flew open. The soldier saw them going down through the trap door one after another, the eldest leading the way, and thinking he had no time to lose, he jumped up, put on the cloak which the old woman had given him, and followed them. However, in the middle of the stairs, he trod on the gown of the youngest princess, and she cried out to her sisters, "All is not right, someone took hold of my gown." "You silly creature," said the eldest, "it is nothing but a nail in the wall." Down they all went, and at the bottom they found themselves in a most delightful grove of trees, and the leaves were all of silver and glittered and sparkled beautifully. The soldier wished to take away some token of the place, so he broke off a little branch, and there came a loud noise from the tree. Then the youngest daughter said again, "I am sure all is not right. Did you not hear that noise? That never happened before." But the eldest said, "It is only our princes who are shouting for joy at our approach." They came to another grove of trees, where all the leaves were of gold, and afterwards to a third, where the leaves were all of glittering diamonds. And the soldier broke a branch from each, and every time there was a loud noise, which made the youngest sister tremble with fear. But the eldest still said it was only the princes who were crying for joy. They went on till they came to a great lake, and at the side of the lake there lay 12 little boats with 12 handsome princes in them who seemed to be waiting there for the princesses. One of the princesses went into each boat, and the soldier stepped into the same boat as the youngest. As they were rowing over the lake, the prince who was in the boat with the youngest princess and the soldier said, "I do not know why it is, but though I am rowing with all of my might, we do not get on so fast as usual, and I am quite tired. The boat seems very heavy today." "It is only the heat of the weather," said the princess. "I am very warm too." On the other side of the lake stood a fine illuminated castle, from which came the merry music of horns and trumpets. There they all landed and went into the castle, and each prince danced with his princess, and the soldier, who was still invisible, danced with them too. When any of the princesses had a cup of wine set by her, he drank it all up, so that when she put the cup to her mouth, it was empty. At this, too, the youngest sister was terribly frightened, but the eldest always silenced her. They danced on till 3 o'clock in the morning, and then all their shoes were worn out so that they were obliged to leave. The princes rowed them back again over the lake, but this time the soldier placed himself in the boat with the eldest princess, and on the opposite shore they took leave of each other, the princesses promising to come again the next night. When they came to the stairs, the soldier ran on before the princesses and laid himself down. And as the 12 tired sisters slowly came up, they heard him snoring in his bed and they said, "Now all is quite safe." Then they undressed themselves, put away their fine clothes, pulled off their shoes, and went to bed. In the morning, the soldier said nothing about what had happened, but determined to see more of this strange adventure, and went again on the second and third nights. Everything happened just as before. The princesses danced till their shoes were worn to pieces, and then returned home. On the third night, the soldier carried away one of the golden cups as a token of where he had been. As soon as the time came when he was to declare the secret, he was taken before the king with the 3 branches and the golden cup, and the 12 princesses stood listening behind the door to hear what he would say. The king asked him, "Where do my 12 daughters dance at night?" The soldier answered, "With 12 princes in a castle underground." And then he told the king all that had happened, and showed him the 3 branches and the golden cup which he had brought with him. The king called out for the princesses and asked them whether what the soldier said was true, and when they saw that they were discovered and that it was of no use to deny what had happened, they confessed it all. So the king asked the soldier which of the princesses he would choose for his wife, and he answered, "I am not very young, so I will have the eldest." and they were married that very day, and the soldier was chosen to be the king's heir. The end.